Everybody have your Bible today, ready to learn? Got your sword? Hold it high in there. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can go where it says I can go. I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name, amen. Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to go back to faith lessons. Just a little refresher, if I can speak this morning. Jan and I enjoyed a rodeo last night, and I'm having the after effects today through allergies, the mold, and also just pray for me. But a little refresher before we get into today's lesson. We talked about Abel, and his expression of faith was by offering. He gave a more excellent sacrifice, and he made the Hall of Fame in chapter 11 of Hebrews. We talked about Enoch, and maybe this is one of the few people that it doesn't say, you know, it shows some of his sinful moments. But Enoch was by relationship and fellowship, and he expressed his faith through that, and God took him. And somebody was saying the other day he died at a young age. Well, he was 365 years old when he died. It wasn't, you know, but he had a close relationship with God, and it was young for that day, about a third of his life, probably in expected life in that day. But what a great expression of faith is when God looks at you and said, you know, how they express their faith to me is their strong relationship. I've been working around a guy that he installed our sprinklers. You remember I call him John the Baptist. He told me the other day, he said, hey, Pastor, did you know there's a place you can get and you can just dwell in the presence of God all the time? Like, I didn't know. And I said, well, yes, I did know that. And I'm sure he's thinking, not like I do. Because John's a pretty young Christian and he's really on fire for God. And I can remember, and I said, John, I can remember going through phases just like you are, right where you are now. And one of the things I remember is you think sometimes when God brings you on your faith walk and you begin to really exercise your faith and be strong in your faith, most of us came to a place where we think we're probably one of the few really righteous people on God's earth. And it borders on self-righteousness because we think of what we're doing is making us righteous. And then we need to remember that our work, our effort, our works is as filthy rags. It's nothing. It's the blood of Jesus that covered us. So just walk on in faith and accept the grace and the blessings and the blood and walk in that. And when, like I said, when you do fall, we repent and things. But I love to mentor young businessmen like him and help them. And I give him a critique once in a while. And I said, John, I can remember being right where you are in my faith walk. And I said, this is what I think God is doing in your life. I think God's trying to purge out, because I've noticed as a young businessman, he'll get upset quickly about things. You know, if you don't want to do it in his order and his sequence, and you know, and when he's putting in the sprinkler system, he's working for me. And as long as it's done right and my way, we're happy. Isn't that the way you are when you hire someone? If it's done right in my way, I had our water softener guy come out the other day. He said, I think I can get 2 bags of salt in your water purifier. Would you like me to put them in? I said, I want you to do it like it was your house and do it right. I mean, I'd rather have it done right than wrong. And I said, I think God's trying to purge out. And so in our faith walk, God's going to purge us, but we need to be careful when we're purged and we're clean, because we can border on, you know, this faith walk, we can border on being self-righteous and religious and thinking we're better than we are. And just remember that unless it was the blood of God has been applied to our life, we're all sinners on our way to hell. That's pretty simple, isn't it? So anyway, by relationship, Abraham or Noah, he was faith by preparation, by preparing. He prepared an ark. 100 years. Over 100 years he prepares an ark, and he was faithful and he made the Hall of Fame. What has God called you to prepare in this life? In this life, God has called me to prepare people and even real estate and bring old things up to new and put it back in its sweet spot. And that's the key card I'll play on all my life, regardless if I'm in a pulpit or speaking to a, you know, doing a motivational speech or coaching or or restoring a house. That's what I do. What do you do? What has God called you to do? Everybody has a plan and a purpose, and you need to find that. And so you can be in the Hall of Fame when you get to heaven and say, they played on their strengths, they played on their gifts, they played on what God had given them. And some of you, it's amazing to me how some people would just kind of wander and never make that a... Listen, if you don't know your purpose and why God has put you on this earth, just bombard heaven with prayer and your mind and your heart and seek Him and say, I'm not letting up until you just show me plainly what it is. And then play on that the rest of your life and you'll be a happy camper and God will not be ashamed to be called your God. Then we looked at Abraham. Abraham's faith was by going. He was called out of his country where he was. And I want to show you something interesting before we close here in a little while. But today we're going to talk about Sarah. And you know, Sarah, I just put faith by choice. That's the first point, is faith by choice. Really, she didn't do anything for it. She was Abraham's wife, and she was submissive to him. And ladies, she was submissive even when he was wrong. Just a thought. I know I didn't get a lot of amens, and you preach pastor, but I'm just telling you, she was submissive even when he was wrong. And she made the Hebrews chapter 11 Hall of Fame. And I know you're not married to Abraham, but he's probably not married to Sarah either. Just a thought. So in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 11, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength. Listen, by faith we can receive strength to do what we couldn't normally do. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. 90 years old. Older than Miss Dorothy. You imagine Miss Dorothy walling in with her walker one day and she's pregnant. Just get the picture. Of course, that's after she's found a new husband. Yeah. Keep it in context. Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't she be the talk of the church? You know, I mean, it takes faith, doesn't it, after a while? It takes faith. And she bore a child when she was past. Everybody say past. She bore a child when she was past. How many times in your life have you thought, oh, I had a vision for that, I had faith for that, but oh, it's already come and gone, it's past us now. That's one of my weaknesses in life, is waiting on God and wanting to do things. When I hear something from God, you know, and all my gifts and things, it's one of my questions is, when do we start? I want to know when we start. You know, let's have one meeting, let's get a little direction, and let's head that direction. Step one, let's just put step one down now. And it aggravates the fire out of me because God is never in a hurry. When we moved to Ada, I knew what I felt in my heart. It was God was wanting us, me to do personally. And Jana had good direction for her life and her work and her calling and all. And what a blessing she has been in her department. We had a little meeting one day and I trained some of her staff. And I don't know how many of them came up and said, I just love your wife. That's why I love her too. Thank you very much. That's ministry. That's more than an employer. That's a ministry. When people love you for what you do and what you stand for, and that's what we should be in the marketplace every day. We should be wherever we are and where we work, live, where we're retired, whatever it is. We should be the face of God where we are, doing and using our gifts. That's what we do. That's your pulpit. I'm getting ready to talk to about 70 teachers, and they want me to come and do a little motivational speech. And I said, I will. And Jenna, I was kind of running something by her the other day, and she said, well, how can you make it less preachy? I said, I can't. I'm a preacher. They don't have to have me back, but I'm Jack, and this is me, and this is my life. And if you don't like what I preach, you know, don't call me anymore. I'm fine. God will take care of me. Thank you very much. But if you'll listen to me and don't get too, you know, I'll help you because God gave me the ability to. And she's just trying to help me and tweak me because she operates in the business world. And sometimes I do get preachy. And it's a good tweak. But I'm not changing my example, so there you go. Just be submissive like Sarah, okay? And she is, by the way. When she was past the age. And so what I'd like you to do today is think about Sarah and her faith journey. She's past. And maybe something is past for you. You used to have a clear vision, a thought, a direction, and you think now it's past for you. Well, is it? Is it? I never forget when I was doing my coach training, receiving my coach training, one of the speakers, I forget his name, but I really liked him. And one of the things he said was, bring out all the things that you used to have a vision for, a passion for, and you think maybe it's past. Just bring them out and put them in the light for a while and look at them a little while and see if maybe God still wants to do something in one of those areas. Some passion, some desire that you had. And you just push it away because life comes. And how many knows bills come every month? Yesterday I got a water bill from the city of Ada that said it is past due. And I thought, well, I don't remember getting a bill. But how many knows it doesn't matter if you remember or not. They'll cut your water off if you don't pay your bill. So I'm going to go home and write out a check and have it in the mail in the morning because I didn't see a bill. I didn't know it was due. She was past age, and listen to this, this is powerful, but she judged him faithful. Now, God's got a plan for your life, but how are you judging God? Oh, well, he'll do that for everyone else, but not for me. Are you judging God faithful to help you do what he's called you to do? Sarah did, and she made the Hall of Fame in faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Faith. I'm getting ready to exit. Next Sunday's my last Sunday. Some of you saying hallelujah and some of you saying, oh. And it really doesn't matter to me which one you're saying. How are you judging God? For new leadership's coming in after next Sunday and Adam will lead this congregation and I think he'll do a wonderful job. How many knows he's been a faithful servant? God would send us a little track meter on all the hours he's put in around here at Prayer of Faith and Ground Zero. I bet you would be surprised. In fact, his Sarah had to help him. She's like, you got a family down here, you know. Oh, well, I'm doing God's bidding, honey. And I told him, I said, I've been there. I was enthusiastic. I had to go to church every time the doors opened for any meeting, anything that was going on, and family comes second, and that is not a healthy ministry. I said, the church becomes your mistress, and your wife don't know how to fight that, and you could see the light going off in his little bald head. I remember coming back from Dominican. No, was it Dominican or Guatemala we came back from? We're sitting at the airport. Guatemala. And we're sitting at the airport, and he and Cindy were having a little squabble. I don't know, don't be surprised. We all have squabbles, right? You without squabble cast the first stone, right? Jan and I call it intense fellowship. That's what we have, intense fellowship. And so I remember him saying, and I remember looking at Adam and I thought, that's not good stuff that's coming out of your mouth. And I said, well, if you sow crap, you'll reap crap. The truth will set you free. And he never forgot that. He could quote me that years later, he could quote me that just months later, whatever that, but it helped him and his faith journey, So I'm excited about him coming. But here's what I want you to know. Whether Adam leads or I lead or somebody leads after Adam, we have to judge God faithful where we are. That's important that you judge God faithful where you are to accomplish what God has called you to do. You have to judge him faithful. And that's a decision. It's a choice that you have to make. You have to make a choice. Am I going to believe God or not? In the natural, you would think And I thought about this, and this was part of my prayer and my meditation before we left Oklahoma City. There's a lot more opportunity in Oklahoma City to do what I do with coaching and training and stuff than there is in Ada, Oklahoma. And I don't want to travel a lot. And so, you know, that automatically cuts my little sphere down, you know. But I just feel like God give us the okay. So in our going, our faith going, that's that I feel confident in that. And then Mark told me one day, and it was just a shot in the arm. And he said, you know, I think, Pastor, you'll do well wherever you go. I needed that particular day that you said that. See, that's a faith shot. It's better than B12 when somebody needs it. Now, if you're just going around with your machine gun trying to flatter everyone, it doesn't work. But when you're giving out something that somebody needs at the time of seeking, then you talk about a sermon. It becomes a personalized sermon for individuals that just, you know, hits them right where they need to be hit. I got a word not long ago over here, and before before I published my book and before this transition started, be patient. And I thought, I don't want to be patient. And she said, but if you're not careful, you'll miss the will of God and be graceful. Man, that word has helped me so many times here's what I want you to say. When we're judging God faithful, we need to listen to the people around us that are speaking into our life, because that's how He speaks to us literally sometimes, is through individuals that are listening to God, and that's what they do. They speak into your life, and if you're not careful, we'll miss the very word of God that comes to us because we think it's not, you know, a reliable source or whatever. It's just Mark talking or, you know, Deanna talking or whatever. And so God's talking to us through people in different ministries. And so listen, let's listen to Him. She judged Him faithful who had promised. Now, that sounds good, doesn't it? And so, number one, faith is a choice. But turn with me to Genesis 16. Hold your place in Hebrews there. We'll be back in a minute. But go with me to Genesis 16. But before she judged Him faithful, and here's something else I want to give you. You know, we're talking about having grace and forgiveness for people. She judged Him faithful. And by the way, He could have put this mark in Sarah's life in Hebrews chapter 11, but He didn't mention this. But He could have. It was really a negative mark on her life. But how many knows? And that's the way I do at funerals. You know, I've done funerals, especially down home, where everybody knows everybody, or it's a relative or somebody, and they have a very colorful life. They're mean. They're whatever, you know. And usually I'll get up and say something like this. You know, we're not here to condemn today. We all know what kind of a life that we live. And all of us could, when we go, all of us could have somebody stand up here and condemn you over areas of your life. So we're not here to do that today. So I'm not saying this person's a saint. I'm just saying today we're gathered here today to celebrate their life and the good things that they accomplished. Is that okay? I usually kind of set that foundation, because you can always kind of hear people saying when you don't set that, well, you didn't know Mike, I knew him. Well, yeah, we did. We're not, you know, we're all pretty discerning. But when I go, just talk about the good things. God will judge me for the other things. But you're not God. And so here's Sarah. She didn't make her judgment, her bad call didn't make it, but there's something in here, ladies, that I think is interesting. Remember a while ago I told you that she submitted to Abraham, Sarah did, even when he was wrong? Here's something to counterbalance that, okay? All the ladies say amen. Now, in Genesis 16:1, now Sarah, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. No children. They've been in Canaan for 10 years, and that's a long time to try to get pregnant and not, it would seem, and they don't have all the medical advancements and things that we have today and you know, fertility drugs and all, and they didn't have that. They didn't have, so 10 years and they're waiting on the promise. That's a long time, isn't it? She had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. Now, to come to this conclusion, how many of you would say she's been thinking about this for a while? You know, ladies, you wouldn't just pass your husband on over to a younger woman that's your servant unless you're frustrated. You've been thinking about it for a long time, would you? And so she's meditated, thought about it, probably really had serious doubts about it and all. But finally she says, Sarah said to Abram, Now, see, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. She's had some talks with God for 10 years and maybe longer. You know, you promised Abraham he's going to be a father of many nations, and here we are. And it doesn't look like it's me. It doesn't look like it's me. Which brings you to my second point. It's never too late to believe. Listen, it's never too late to believe. It's never too late to have faith in God. If you're alive and you feel like from the bottom of your heart this is God, then it's not too late. It's only too late if you don't judge Him faithful, if you don't believe. Then it's too late. It doesn't matter how long you live if you don't believe. Because without faith, the Bible said, it is impossible to please God. It's impossible. And she says, please go in to my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her. And Abram heeded the voice of Sarah. Now, I just want you to remember who the initiator was. It wasn't Abraham, it was Sarah. Then Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, and the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. And Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. So he went to Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. She initiated, right? She initiated all this. Then Sarai said to Abram, my wrong be upon you. You ever said that to your honey? And he said, well, this was your idea. It's your fault. And Sarah says, I don't care. It's on you. You know why she could say that legally and with the authority that she does? Is because that man that you married is supposed to be the head of the home, whether he is or not. He's supposed to be. And God has given him authority, but he's also given him responsibility to lead his home. Abram should have said, no, thank you. This is not God's will. He should have said. Listen, the counterpoint that, husbands, in our faith walk, sometimes we have to look at our wife and say, well, no, thank you. We're not doing that. Is my microphone on? I know it's touchy, isn't it? It's touchy. But you know what? If you're both in the will of God and you're doing your best to serve God and you're walking a walk of righteousness, you know what? It'll just work. Can I tell you? It'll just work. For 10 years in our marriage, I let my beautiful wife run our home. I did. I didn't care. I'm easygoing, Jack. I don't care where we live. I don't care what we live in. I don't care what I don't care. And then I started reading the Bible in about year 11 and 12, and I thought, there's some things that I have to make decisions about. And it wasn't that I was right and she was wrong. It was just decisions. And I believe God allowed a transitional time in our life to say, this is what you're responsible for. And the main thing was loving them and making sure they had a good foundation in God's Word. And like I said, I went way over balance and church became my mistress and all that she, you know, Dana had to work through and help me with. And that was a part of the problem as well. But there was a transition time in our life that I remember looking at her and saying, you know, honey, because I don't even remember what we were arguing about. She probably don't. But I remember looking at her and say, I'll go as far as I can without you. And that's what I felt like. She didn't love God. But we had a difference about something. And she, I'll never forget, she just hugged me around the neck and she said, I'm going with you. And whatever we were arguing about just dissolved. And it was like, okay, stupid, you finally put me first. I mean, really, in our house, it's kind of like God saying, you know, you finally put me above your wife. Because I tell Jana, I love you more than anybody on the planet. She said, oh, well, thank you. I guess I do you too. I just think weird, I guess, you know, people. Because you got your children that you love with all your heart you'd die for and your grandkids and all that stuff, you know. But your soulmate, you know what I'm saying? Your spouse, if they're from the Lord, if they're part of your soul and heart. And so, you know, but that was a resolve that we had to come to in our faith walk. And then I heard her say and teach young ladies and young brides, you know, you don't want to be the man of God. That's your husband's position. And there's things that God will require of him that you don't want to have to mess with. And it's just enjoy your part, you know. And we found that balance, but we did it through a faith walk and the transitioning and helping it tweak each other. And that's what I see Sarah going through. She's trying to, but we have to be careful, church, because we try to create the will of God and we don't have to create it. And it's not laborious. Sometimes it's, we have to have patience. But how many knows if it's God, it's not going to, we don't have to push our way in. We don't have to, you know, connive. And that's one of the things I love about our church. I told our elder this morning, I said, you know what I love about our church and I'll miss? I said, I don't think anybody has hidden agendas here. We're a family and we're not pulling against each other. You know, and this over here. And that. I love that about us. But Sarah's, you know, she's desperate to create the will of God. And finally, it says in Hebrews 11, she just judged him faithful that had called her to conceive. What a day that must have been when she gave up all the trying to bring the will of God into to play. But she says in verse 5, my wrong be upon you. I gave my maid into your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, I became despised in her eyes. And she brings God right into the mix. The Lord judged between you and me. You should have been the head of the house. You should have taken care of it. You should have said no. That's a good woman. That'd tell her husband when he should have said no, even if it's her suggestion. That's speaking the truth in love, isn't it? It's hard truth. And oh, Abe, look at Abe. Abram said to Sarah, indeed, your maid is in your hand. Honey, do to her as you please. And when Sarah dealt harshly with her, she fled from her presence. Now, it was the wrong time, the wrong effort. Everything about it was wrong, but I love God, how he shows us. He goes and he meets Hagar and he says, you know what? I'm going to make this child a father of many nations. This is going to be kings in different parts of the world. And he just blesses. Aren't you glad God blesses our mess? Maybe I need to work on a sermon. God will bless your mess. Yeah, God will bless your mess. So listen, she jumps ahead of God. She alters God's plan. She drags her husband and her maidservant in, and then she produces fruit of the flesh, which equals heartache and headache. How many has ever produced something in the flesh, and it was heartache and headache? And you say, I won't do that no more. Help me, Jesus. Yeah, we all have. We've all, you know, created that mess, and it's, you know, it's, now while we're here, let's look, and then I'll close as we go back to Hebrews here in just a minute. But look in chapter 17, verse 15. God said to Abram, and he's already changed his name from Abram to Abraham, and he says, God said to Abram, as for your wife Sarah, you shall not call her name Sarah, but Sarah shall be her name. There's two things I think that's important we need to remember. Before the promise came, there was change. He changed Abraham's name, and I just wrote it down just for you know, it doesn't matter, I guess, but Abram meant high father. But before they get the promised child, there's change. I think before God does anything big in you and me, there's a change. And I think we're getting a new name when we get to heaven. I think it's already written. Once you go through the change here and you've walked in your faith and you reach a place, I believe that's when we get our new name, just like Abraham got his new name. It was High Father, but Abraham means father of a multitude. Not just a high father, but a father of a multitude. So he renames him before the promised child comes, and then he renames Sarai, and which is dominative. That's what her name meant. And it changed it to Sarah, which means princess. And there's one other thing. They changed the name, and then they changed to a new covenant. Circumcision. Before they received the promise. I think that we have to have our hearts circumcised before we receive the promise. before God does anything to us. I think we all go through a faith walk, and God says, I'm looking at you. I'm judging you. I'm testing you right now. And if you'll make the walk, I'm going to do this transition in your life. I'm going to rename you, and there'll be a circumcision of your heart where those battles that you used to fight, and I think this is true with all of my being down to my core, that once you reach a point, you don't have to fight those battles anymore. There's so many battles I don't have to fight anymore. Can you remember as a young Christian having to fight the am I really saved or not battle? You built the altar every week for a while. Every time you messed up, you run to the altar. Can I tell you something? You only get saved once. Born again once. That's all. You can't be rebirth. You can be regenerated. You can be refreshed. You can be forgiven for sin. But you're only born again one time. I don't fight those battles anymore. There's so many battles I don't have to fight anymore. And God showed me how to set boundaries. So wherever I am and wherever we go, you know, I bought a piece of property. And my neighbors, and it's a lower income area, but my neighbors were driving up on my backyard, jumping the curb, driving up on my backyard and going into their little driveway over here in part of the yard. And then right across the street, there's a commercial building, and this commercial building has furniture, and it's one of the furniture stores, the bigger ones in Ada, and all their packing blows over on my yard. Every time I mow it, it blows over on my property. And I thought, Lord, so I took my little cell phone, I took a picture of all this stuff, but lo and behold, guess who drives up? The delivery drivers. Oh, thank you, Jesus. What are you telling us this for? Because I'm setting faith boundaries where I can sustain and operate with peace wherever I go. Listen, for some of you that don't have peace, you need to learn how to set faith boundaries. It says, you know what? This is in my value system. This is in what God's called me. And I don't live in mess. I don't live in clutter. I don't live in all this stuff. And set it right. Get it in order and walk in that. Man, it's a good place to walk. And so I walk over with my weed eater and my cowboy hat on, and I said, hey, this is my house, and you know, I've just noticed there's a lot of styrofoam over here, and every time I come to mow this little property, there's styrofoam over here. Can you kind of help keep that over here? And he said, oh, we're so sorry about that, sir. We'll take care of that, and we'll do a better job. I said, well, thank you very much, neighbor. I appreciate it. And if you don't, guess who I'm going to call? His boss. Because it's not my burden. Lay it down. Don't be a Sarah picking up everything and trying to create. No, how can I? You know, don't be that. Walk in faith and with direction and confidence that God has not called you. I asked my neighbor. I was sitting there. And then here comes my neighbor. Drives right up on my yard with me sitting right there. And I said, hey, how you doing, neighbor? I said, can I ask you something? Could I ask you just not to drive on the back part of my yard anymore? Look at the lawn, and it's better already since I've had it and been keeping it up. And don't it look good? And they said, oh, it does. It looks better. And I said, and your sons, I just love them so much. They came, and they got a little lawn business. And we talked for about a half hour on the porch one day. And I said, they're just good boys. You've done well. And you know, and I connected with them as a neighbor, but I set that boundary, and he starts to back up. And I said, you can pull on the cross. It's okay. I said, well, I just need to make my lawn look beautiful, and it'll help the neighborhood. You say, we stress about things, and we try to create things like Sarah, and we try to work around them. And listen, set your goal, set your desire, set whatever it is, and God will rename you, and He'll help you. And many of you are there. You've done it, and you feel that freedom, and you feel that presence of God, and it's a good place. Everybody say that's past that. Say it's a good place. Yeah, it's a good place, isn't it? Just to live in that and to make things better wherever you are and all. That's what faith, this faith walk is. That's what God was doing through His children in these passages. Look at chapter 18, verse 1. The Lord appeared to him, to Abraham, by the terebinth trees of Mamre, as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. Now, going down tonight, I just wanted you to know God appeared. I wish God did that today. I thought, Lord, why don't you do that today? Just, you know, we're having struggles and we're having issues. Why don't you just show up on our porch like you did, and we'll feed you like Abraham did, and I'll grill you a steak. Why don't you just do it that? Wouldn't that be simpler if God would just come to your house when you had the heavy questions? Well, let's just take a vote and maybe he'll come. Everybody in favor? No. But he did. He came to his house and he's talking to him, you know, and verse 9. And then he said to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" So he said, "Here in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Your 90-year-old bride will have a son." Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I surely bear a child since I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord?" Church, is anything too hard for the Lord? Then how come you stress so much? How come you stress so much if nothing's too hard for the Lord?
Because I hadn't seen it yet.
At the appointed time, and that's it, church, there's the key. At the appointed time. God's going to do it at the appointed time. I preached a message one time years ago, and it was called In Due Time, Not You Time. Our church used that forever. They said, oh, you know, they'd be praying about, oh, in due time, not you time. At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah, this is the one that made the faith chapter. Sarah denied it, saying, "I did not laugh, for she was afraid." And God said, "No, you did laugh." And then the men rose from there and looked toward Sodom, and Abram went with them to send them on their way. Miss Thelma came down and her kids, and she's been wanting to see her house, and we fed her, and Lahonda came over, and we sat around talking about God and things and church. And I said, you know, I got so tickled this week as I was meditating and studying the Word of God. And I said, really, it was kind of Sarah, she really, her deal is faith by choice. She just finally decided, judged him faithful who said that he would do what he would do. And I said, really, all she did was laugh and have sex. I thought, if that's what faith is, I have faith. If you're married, laugh and have sex, that's faith. How many could do that? I got faith if that's so. We make it complicated. God said she laughed and she was nervous. I understand. It's okay. I'm still going to bless her because she's finally yielded to me. She's finally saying, okay, if that's what you want to do, here I am, you know, and so it's, you know, it's okay. And I think that's hilarious. Now, let's go back over to Hebrews and we'll close. Oh, and by the way, I'm not going there, but in Genesis 21, 1 and 2, it says the Lord kept his promise and Sarah conceived. She gave birth to Isaac. But I want to show you something before we close out here and back in Hebrews. In Hebrews 11 and 12, therefore from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky and the multitude, innumerable as the sand is which is by the seashore. All these died, and this is where I thought, it took me a little while. It said, all these died, all the people he's talking about, Abraham, Enoch, Abel, all the Sarah, Noah, all these died in faith, not having received the promises. And I thought, well, it looked like they received the promises to me. They received a child, they built the ark, they had fellowship, and they were translated up into heaven, and they gave a better offering, and they were rewarded for it, and you know, it looked like they received the promises to me, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And then it hit me, oh, their promise is not here, it's over there. Listen, I don't think we put enough emphasis on where we're headed anymore. We're so caught up in the now, today, right now, what's going on, what's happening here at Oklahoma City or Ada America or wherever we're at in our job and our family and our health. We're so caught up here that we're not like these people. Abraham said, I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God, not a tent maker, not a city that you'll give me. I'm looking for the real deal. I think every once in a while it would do us good just to remember, this ain't it. This is not our dwelling place. This is just, we're all passing through. Did you notice Donnie Cobalt got a year older? He is still kicking, baby. And I noticed several people up there got a year older. And they've married a year longer. But how many knows, this is not where we're going to land. This is not it. And then it says in verse 14, for those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. Now, here's what I want to give you as we close. Look at this. And truly, truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. Can I tell you something? I think this is where a lot of our faith fails us, is when we think something's going to happen and we pursue it, but the time span, the effort, the labor, whatever it is, we get to dwelling on where we were and what we had and how it used to be. Remember when the children of Israel came out of Egypt and their problem was they begin to think how it used to be. They're in a new environment, new surroundings where they have to depend on God. They don't like that. They want to know that their canteens are full of water. They want to know that their cupboards are full of food. And at least they had that in Egypt. And they begin to focus on what they had because it, in the land of enough is what I call it. We operate too many times in the land of enough when God said, I have come to bless you abundantly. Because we don't do this. If they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. You ever seen no Christian just sitting and doing nothing the same old every year and not making any kind of impact? They probably have returned to where they started. It's easier, it's safer, it's less effort, and it's enough. It's enough. And then you see saints like Miss Dorothy that's still dancing for the Lord, still doing her skits and her dramas for the community, still reading her books and songs to the kids on Wednesday night, still watching, leaning up on the counter doing dishes. She's going, baby. It's called the faith walk. It's called the faith walk. Listen, you cannot, what your mind is going to focus on something every day. And I know as you're an employer, that's one of your biggest tasks, isn't it? To keep your employees' minds focused on what it really should be focused on. And when I coach, I tell people, you know what? And they say, oh, yeah, they've done this and then they've done this again. I say, you know what? After the first time or two, you need to make it direct. I mean, everywhere you want to go, anywhere you want to be, in church, in business, in community, in family, there's always going to be people that's going to repeat. And they're not going to hop off that unless you help them. How many would just say in this room, I've got relatives, I hate certain times of year because we always go to their house, they always say the same things every year. I just dread go. How many would just say you agree with that? Let me tell you something. Change the focus of their mind or change your geographical location. It's called a faith walk. If they had focused back on Haran, if they had focused on before the boat was being built, it's too much. 50 years in, Noah says, this is ridiculous. I've been at this 50 years. Miss Noah, I'm wearing her out. Chalking sawdust in the house every day and, you know, all this stuff. I mean, there's all kinds of excuses they could have had if they had let their mind go back like the children of Israel did at Egypt. I'm just saying we do that, church. We let our mind track back to where it was. We let our mind track back to the fear. We let our of what, you know, what am I going to rock the boat for somebody? And we don't do what we need to do. But watch this. He says they would have had opportunity to return. But here's the key. Here's what you do instead. Verse 16. But now they desire a better. Everybody say better. Listen, if you desire a better life, a better relationship, a better job, a better whatever it is that you desire better, here's the key right here. They desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. What they did was they didn't have their mind on where they were. They had their mind focused on where they're going. And God said, that's a good desire, and I will bless them. And how many has ever read where God will give you the desires of your heart? Listen, you can't get God's blessing in your faith walk if your mind is always back here focusing on problems. It's not going to happen. Where is your mind focused today? What is your focus? Any area, just take any area of your life, whether it's your health, your finances, your relationships, your relationship to God, your ministry, your work, any area of your life, where is your focus? And right now, in one of those areas, you need to work on it, because how many knows, we're like juggling plates, aren't we? You ever see the guy juggles the plates or spins the plates on the little pole and he runs over and he spins another one? That's the way we are in our life. We have all these things we're juggling, but here's what I've learned as a life coach is, you know what? What you're going to juggle, when you're juggling, one bowl is going to start doing this. It's going to get out of kilter, isn't it? And then it goes like this, doesn't it? And you know when it goes like this, if you don't take care of it, you know what's going to happen? Crash. Where you focus matters. I think this is the whole crux of the faith walk, is where your mind and your focus is and where, what your desires are. He said, and I love it, he said, he's not ashamed to be called their God, and he's preparing something good for them. Listen, if you want God to be not ashamed of you and prepare something good for you, you need to watch where you're focused. Only you. Remember Smokey the Bear? Only you. Only you can determine where your mind's going to focus. You can't blame your husband. You can't blame your mom that was mean, or your daddy that was abusive. You can't blame any of that once you come to God. He said, behold, all things become new. Old things pass away. If you choose, like Sarah did, faith. If you judge him faithful like Sarah did and say, I believe God's going to do it. And one day, Abraham opens the tent door, and he gives her that look like he hadn't given her in a long time. And I'm telling you, the sparks were flying in the tent at 90 and 100. Because they got their focus back. The Bible said that Sarah just yielded because she didn't know she could have good pleasure anymore. Well, they don't say how many times they had good pleasure, but that we know they had good pleasure one more time. Why? Because their mind was focused there. They yielded to God, and they said, this is our desire. They began to desire what God wanted. I think God's got such good things for you all and for me if we'll just say, you know what? I'm going to keep my mind focused on God's direction, God's will, and that's going to be my desire. I'm not going to get bogged down with junk. Junk's going to happen to all of us, and it just happens. If you're alive, it's going to happen, but you don't have to be a part of it. You don't have to meditate on it. You don't think about it. You don't have to partake in it. You know, just tell the people that's encroaching on you, get off my lawn. Keep your styrofoam on your own hands. Get focused on what really matters, and let God bless you. Father, thank you for your word today. Help us to focus our mind, just like Sarah finally did after 10 years, finally did after Ishmael was born and all the mess that she created and Abraham had to deal with, all the mess. And in spite of all that, they got their focus back. They got their mind back and began to focus and desire your will. And you fulfilled your will and you blessed them right where they were. And I pray over this congregation and myself that you will help us to keep our focus exactly where it needs to be. And Lord, for all of those that may be in mess right now in some area of their life, not taking care of the relationship or their finances or their health or whatever it might be, just they've got a mess right now. I pray that you'll remind them it's never too late if they'll just judge you faithful. The one that rules their life and runs this universe still wants to move in their lives. And I pray today in Jesus' name for each individual that's dealing with mess and obstacles and things that just that you haven't placed there, that they've allowed to be there. Help them today to say, Lord, no more. Today, my focus is going to be on you and on your righteous will for my life. And all, and then I know that you will say you're not ashamed to be called my God, and that you're going to prepare something good for them right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for every person that just stood up with their faith and judged you faithful at this moment. Bless them, Lord, for their faith. We pray in Jesus' name. And all the church said, amen.